Hey, nerds. We understand you. Drop those controllers. Lose the wizard hat. And ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to another edition of Near Mint, except for that one ad at the back. It's Geek Cave Podcast Comics. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad.
Fun fact, guys, the five most published comic book characters in history are Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, Wolverine, and Donald Duck, the most dangerous of ducks. Welcome to comics.
I would agree with that.
That makes perfect sense to me.
I want to thank our sponsor, Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. With great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything geek chic, whether you're a fan of old school gaming, anime, 80s cartoons, or you're just weird, find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com. And Gamefly, with membership options for every budget, plus great gifts for gamers of all ages, Gamefly has thousands of titles you can keep as long as you want. When you're done, just send it back in the postage paid envelope for a new one. Or keep it forever and pay a lot less than those in-store prices. Sign up for a free 30-day trial right now using the link at geekcavepodcast.com.
Yay.
Yay. Two-thirds of us have colds, so if we sound kind of like this, it's not your headphones are fine.
It's all fine.
It's all fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
We're all fine down here.
We're all fine. thank
you.
How are you? We got company. That takes care of the new business. Well, the new personal business. Darren, have you?
Yeah, hold on. I gotta adjust these binoculars real quick.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
It's Darren's first time.
Motherfucker, I told you be gentle.
Welcome to Darren's First Time, where I pick a comic or comic series that I've never once swiped right on, and I try to find out if it's something that I want to stick with, or if this is something I'm just going to leave on red forever. So, picture a land where humanity has walled itself off from the rest of the world.
Done.
Yes.
So,
my
Texas.
Basement. Got it.
Yeah. They've done so because they're afraid of anything different, or as they put it, weird.
Not my basement. Got it.
Yeah. Now, picture that weirdness being because of the presence of actual magic in the world, complete with different types of magical creatures and half-bloods called, in this instance, weird bloods.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm following
now,
you.
Now picture the idea that being born weird is punishable by death.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't like where this is going.
All that plus charming art and storytelling with a bit of underlying malice, and you get today's book, Wind, spelled W-Y-N-D, published by Boom Studios, written by Eisner Award winner James Tynion IV.
Okay.
You know, this is, I'm just going to go ahead and spoil the ending of the review. This is kind of like dating a homicidal cheerleader. In that it's a lot of fun, but it gets dark real fast.
Okay.
All right, so check it out. It features the tale of a boy named Wind, oddly enough, right? He has pointy ears, and he has nightmares about turning into some weird bird-like creature. He was abandoned as a child and raised by a kind woman who owns a tavern in Pipetown. the last true human city where they lay all sorts of pipe.
Oh, yeah. World 7.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. She used to be a soldier for the xenophobic king who has one simple rule. Kill anything weird or magical. See, the way he sees it, magical things threaten humanity's existence, and he also happens to be on his deathbed right now. So he's been making his son, Prince Yorick, promise every night that he'll uphold his father's laws. You see, in this world, the king's final wish is law, and his final wish, which he keeps making because he thinks he's going to die overnight, is to wipe out everything magical. Makes for a fun nighttime routine with his kids, you know? Now, word gets to Wynn's adoptive mom, and she makes plans to smuggle Wynn out of town. He ends up running away with his best friend slash adoptive sister, Oatly, Yorick, the prince, and Thorn, the son of the royal gardener, who Wynn happens to creepily watch jogging shirtless each and every morning before the adventure begins.
Okay.
Not a great first impression for our hero.
Everybody has their hobbies?
He does have a hobby, indeed, and... You know, it's you know the sound of Homer Simpson ogling something? The, you know? That's kind of like what I picture whenever, like, we first see Wynn scope and Thorn out. Now, the story is a slow burn. I've actually just summarized the first three or four issues of the series. Because,
okay,
well, the art is charming and the characters are unique, but there just wasn't enough going on in issue one to give you a full-size review. I mean, Wynn has feelings for Thorn. Thorn has feelings for Yorick. I can smell a love triangle from a mile away in this case. That might be interesting down the road, but right now it's just a whole lot of setup. Now, really, the best part about the series is the world that they happen to be in. You know, it's both charming and sinister. And I posted a photo to our Discord. So if you're a member of the Discord, then you would have seen this. A few days prior to today's taping.
Oh, I think I remember this.
Yeah, Thorn's dad discovers that a bush has been allowed to grow wild, and it produced a bulb that had eyes and a mouth, and it was starting to learn how to speak.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
What I didn't share was the following panel, in which he cuts off all of its leaves and then stabs it in what I presume is the heart, all while it screams in agony. You know... It's a book for kids.
Yeah, as you do.
Yeah, a bit of a whiplash effect for me. That also happens elsewhere. You get a flashback to the king's prior actions against magic folk. And then the next panel is something amusing and lighthearted. The artwork is beautiful, and I am digging the style they're going for. In the end, though, I'm not sure how long I'm going to hang with this book. A quick bit of research found that it was actually initially pitched as a trilogy of graphic novels. And while I've only been able to find the first trade, the most common Google result is, and I quote, is Wynn still being published?
Ooh.
The world, like I said, is very interesting, and I feel like they are building to something great here. So in this segment's rating scale, it gets a grade of... Talks a big game and looks impressive, but ends up needing a nap way too early.
Okay. So, Chad, hi, how are you?
Not too bad.
You read anything lately that's not as horrific as that?
Oh, a couple of things. I was reading a little bit of Marvel, and I guess I got a stupid question.
Oh, there are stupid storylines. Thanks, Darren. But no stupid questions.
And now it's time for Chad Savage's stupid question.
So, can Magneto pick up Mjolnir?
Is it a magnetized metal? You can't.
I don't know.
Aluminum isn't. You can't magnetize it, so maybe
aluminum.
Aluminum. Maybe Mjolnir
doesn't
is
work in England.
Aluminium. Do, 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 do.
See? Yeah, just got to work on it, yeah.
Aluminium. No, it doesn't, yeah. I would have to do some spectrograph analyses on Mjolnir. Some metallurgy tests. I'm so close to getting my doctorate in weird metals from outer space. Stay away from that weird land. Yeah, let me get back to you on that.
Good old bullshitology.
Yeah, from BSU.
Now, in the Ultimate Universe, he has been able to, but we don't talk about the Ultimate Universe.
Which is a shame, because it was pretty good at times.
Mm. Spider-Man was pretty good.
That's why I said at times.
Yeah.
Whenever Spider-Man was around.
Yeah, Ultimate Spider-Man was great. Everything else was stuff that happened. I know what I'm doing. If we ever swap jobs again, I know what I'm doing my long box on.
Mjolnir. Got it.
Yeah, sure.
any other reviews or
yes,
anything?
Actually. I read the X Lives and Deaths of Wolverine.
Okay.
Which was the
Lives and Deaths or the X Lives and Deaths?
X Lives and Deaths of Wolverine. Because every X-Men book now has to have the letter X somewhere in it.
Okay. Because it just makes it sound like it's the lives and deaths of his exes.
Or I initially thought it was 10 lives and deaths.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is during the Krakoa era, which apparently X-Men fans really love, and I still find weird and confusing. But I'm going to try to sum this book up best I can. So Omega Red decides that he is going to use a magic sword to go back in time and kill one of Charles Xavier's ancestors. So
as you do,
Xavier and Jean send Wolverine back into his own past to intercept Omega Red at various junctures of said events from happening.
Yeah.
And these involve, at one point, Omega Red inhabiting the body of Moby freaking Dick and trying to eat one of Xavier's ancestors.
Right.
Omega Red inhabiting the body of Wolverine's lover on the night that Wolverine and she were to conceive Dakin. That was terrifying, because every time Omega Red jumps into someone's body, they get the tendrils, you know? And that includes the whale. The whale had, like, these two giant Omega Red tendrils coming out of it. And it just goes on and on and on. Now, okay, so that's the main storyline, right?
Yeah.
There's a B storyline.
Oh, Lord.
So check this. I'm about to drop some mad mutant knowledge on Justin here.
All right.
Now, are you familiar with Moira MacTaggert?
Yes.
Yeah, she was a human ally of Charles Xavier.
Mm-hmm.
She's not human. She's a mutant whose mutant power is when she dies, she just resurrects herself.
Huh.
Moira MacTaggert has also lived 10 lives. And now Moira realizes that the mutants are actually a threat, and so she's gone rogue, and the other half of the storyline starts with Mystique trying to hunt down Moira, Moira killing Mystique in an awesome firebomb, Moira having a robotic arm for a while because of the phalanx, I guess, Moira invading Krakoa to try to, like, burn it down, only to be killed by a future version of Wolverine who is also infected with the phalanx.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, and, like, the other Wolverine kids are there, like Laura and Dakin, and yeah, they're all there, too.
The Wolverine kids sounds like a 90s Fox Kids TV show.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, it is a weird... weird book, but I will give them this. I know that a lot of people love the Krakoa era and the storytelling there, and I've always found it to be just a bit dense and a bit weird, except for the Wolverine self-contained storylines. Those have been at least somewhat worth following, or at least easy to follow for me. And Lives and Deaths of Wolverine was also easy enough to follow. Kind of a unique idea in that Wolverine is having to... It basically puts a lot of stuff in context from, like, years of storytelling where you see a flashback and Wolverine is acting kind of out of character for the situation, and they found ways to kind of make that contextualized with this story.
Okay.
Is it great? No. but, you know, I don't regret reading it.
Okay. Cool. Chad, have you read anything lately? Read anything else lately?
So I read World's Finest number 13.
Okay.
Oh, that book's still so good.
We're starting a new arc, you know, new story involving Metamorpho and a dead businessman and Bruce Wayne being arrested because Jimmy Olsen did the research and determined that it had to be Bruce Wayne. And even though Batman was with Superman investigating, but Superman's not gonna, he's no narc.
Nope.
So we're going to get a detective story.
Ooh.
Apparently without the world's greatest detective.
Well,
or we're going to get a prison break led by the world's biggest Boy Scout.
Okay.
I give it an A.
First off, Tim Drake is still around, so you got there. But a prison...
Oh, no, not in World's Finest. In World's Finest, that takes place back
right.
in the timeline. Yeah.
That's right. Okay, so, okay, yeah, you're right. Yeah, either way, yes, I'm for that. I need to catch up on that book.
Well, I will say that Volume 1 of World's Finest is coming to hardcover, if you missed some of the earlier issues. And it's actually looking at it as of March 25th. It is now available in hardcover.
Yeah, so by the time you're hearing this, yes.
Pick that shit up.
It's been
That's what I've read because I haven't read Dark Knights of Steel, although we're up to number 9. And my spouse says that if you get to number 9, like, now everybody knows what's going on. So since it'll take approximately 6 years to get the last 3 issues... you can read to number 9 and it ends at that point well enough to not be angry about it.
Okay.
All right.
Cool. Well, with no other reviews or conquests, that was a bad joke. I apologize. With nothing further, Kent.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Prepare yourself for Justin's Long Box. Yeah, baby. Extra long.
This year, I decided that I was going to take a look at interesting, for lack of a better word, storylines or single issues of comics. And this month's offering is no different. We're talking about the New Guardians.
Oh, no.
So, a little bit of backstory. The New Guardians were a spinoff from DC's Millennium Event, which ran in 88 and 89. It was a short-lived series.
Yeah.
But here are the characters that you need to be aware of. There's Floronic Man. A human plant creature. Gloss, a Chinese woman who channels the mystic dragon lines of the earth and can have, like, earth-related powers. They never really get into it much.
No, they didn't.
Yeah. Harbinger from Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah.
She has flight, self-replication, energy blast, you know. Extrano, a Peruvian man who is magical and is, while not clearly stated, it is obvious that he is he is a homosexual character and one of the first in comics. Like, it's overt.
He is supremely flamboyant.
Yes. He is, no, that's spoiling. I'll get into that in a minute. He is in contact with the disembodied comic force known as Betty Clawman, who can kind of see things and tell him, and then he can tell everybody else. She's just this big disembodied head.
Cool.
Yeah. There's Jet. She can manipulate a variety of magnetic fields, electromagnetic fields. Ram, a Japanese man, now mostly silicone and electronics, you know, like computer RAM.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is incredibly durable and can communicate with electronic equipment. So, all of that being said, we're looking specifically at New Guardians issue number 2.
Okay.
So, it starts with the New Guardians standing off against a new foe in the South American jungle. Not really sure why they're here. Oh, they've come to stop him from kind of terrorizing the area. Ram, again, who is super durable, goes in to fight him. The guy's name is Snowflame. He's powered by cocaine.
There it is. There it is.
And I quote, "Cocaine is my god, and I am the human instrument of its will." That is a direct pull from the comics.
Please tell me this guy's name is Tony Montana.
No. That's on page 2, y'all.
That is wonderful.
He is a very burly Caucasian man with white hair, a red sleeveless outfit with red boots, white frill at the bottom, and a painted-on white domino mask. Basically, you know, it's a sight to behold, let me tell you. So cocaine, yeah. Snowfire and Ram get into it, with Snowfire getting the upper edge. He calls out his minions, and they shoot down the New Guardians. Flashback. They are at their base before this mission, talking about the events of issue 1, where they faced off against Hemogoblin, a vampire-esque character who may or may not have transmitted AIDS to one of them.
Right. This is that time.
Yes, this is that time. And so there is a subplot running through of, it is either Harbinger, Jet, or Extrano who has the virus. But it's issue 2. They're not going to tell us. They want to go after the guy who sent Hemoglobin after them.
Hemogoblin.
Hemogoblin. Yeah, not Hemoglobin. Hemogoblin. Yes, thank you. Thank you. But due to governmental red tape, they're not allowed to go just marching into whatever country he's in because they are considered a bit of a risk. But the government is willing to work with them if they go down to South America to take down this Snowflame dude. Back to present.
Oh, good.
They were aware that they were about to be double-crossed and faked their death, you know, by being shot. They weren't really dead. And as Snowflame's henchmen are digging their graves, they wake up, bury the henchmen in the earth, and then go about their merry way to stop Snowflame. At least that's what it looks like. They never say what really happens, but there is clearly, and I quote, as dirt is falling in around these people. Let's see. Pathos, pathos, pathos. They finally find the extravagant mansion of Snowflame. And they get the drop on him. Until he shoves cocaine in his face.
Of course
and
he does.
Snorts it. I'm sorry. Snurfs it. S-N-U-R-F-F. And snork. Snurf and snork. Those are the sound effects used.
Oh, boy.
Because the cocaine imbues him with this otherworldly glow and white fire, which give, you know, his powers. And all of the minions that he has around who are also hopped up on cocaine go in for the attack. One of these minions touches the Floronic Man, and because of his photosynthesis ability, he absorbs the cocaine out of this person and thus becomes high.
Oh.
Oh.
My God.
Gloss, who has earth powers, draws the cocaine out of him and back into the ground. So those two have a new mission, to siphon the cocaine out of the people with Floronic Man, and Jet will siphon the cocaine out of the Floronic Man. While Ram and Snowflame have their second bout. They tumble into the pool, which you would think would stop the flames. No, cocaine flames are eternal. You cannot put them out. Except when he is hit into a chemical shed, thus blowing it up along with Snowflame. In the end, there's just a little bit more pathos, and it's just kind of left one, you know, what, you know, teasing what's going to happen in the next issue. So, yeah.
Snowflake. Okay, so, t-shirt ideas.
Okay.
For the Geek Cave. One could have pathos on the front of it. And the other on the back to just say, cocaine flames don't go out.
Cocaine flames are eternal.
Cocaine flames are eternal. Thank you. I have a feeling cocaine was involved in the production of this comic.
Most likely, yes.
Wow.
The title of this particular issue...
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
No.
It was just one issue that you just...
That was just one issue. Issue number two. No, the title is called Jungle Snow.
Dear God.
Yeah. Yeah. So... You wouldn't... And from the looks of the cover, they're in a snowstorm. No, there was no warning. It's like, oh, okay. Not that kind of snow. The other
That's
kind.
That's not snow.
That's not snow.
Check, please.
So, on that note, I want to thank our sponsors, Shirtosaurus and Gamefly. Be sure to check out our other shows, You Want Me to Watch What?, the Week 3 podcast, and the Sporadic TLDR, and on YouTube, Geek Cave Plays and Retromantics. Look for us on social media, including the Discord, which... You get special features if you join up on that. In ahead looks at things and sneak peeks.
Yeah, early access.
Early access. Thank you.
Yeah.
And links to everything that we are on can be found at geekcavepodcast.com. And say hi when you get there. Be sure to tell your friends about us. And we're on all your favorite podcast services. Good pods included. And now... For your out-of-context comic panel, we see Janet Van Dyne, the Wasp, trying to distract the Hulk from rampaging. She takes off her top and says, "Hey, Banner, Betty Ross got a rack as nice as these?"
See, that's the ultimate universe. That's the kind of shit I'm talking about.
Yeah. For Kent, Darren, and Chad, I'm Justin. This has been the wonderful world of comics, and remember, everyone's a geek for something.